He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, what you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heels.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You were on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where we are exactly 1 week out from the NFL Draft and learning that the Carolina Panthers... learning who the Panthers are going to take with the number one pick. Gee, I wonder who it's going to be. It's almost like we already know who they're going to pick. So Bryce Young's going to go number one 7 days from now, and when he does, the Panthers are going to be drafting a different kind of quarterback. And I'm not just talking about that in the way everybody is, about the size factor, his frame. Bryce represents a new breed of star quarterback that, frankly, is generational. Think about this. Bryce Young is the first elite college quarterback we've seen drafted in the age of NIL. Last year, Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback off the board. He went 20th. No quarterbacks were taken in the second round. Then it was Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis and the Panthers taking Matt Corral. Boy, has that pick aged well. Don't you remember the hubbub a couple of years ago? Right before the season started, we learned, Bryce Young, he's a millionaire and hasn't even played a snap at Alabama? This can't be good. Oh, this is bad news for college football, bad news for the sport. Then he went on to win the Heisman Trophy. Turns out he was worth probably more than $1 million. Here he was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor and company, talking about the impact NIL has had on him.
I think financially, having NIL really helped me as far as, you know, I was able to have that jump of, you know, I was able to do a lot of things for my family and put us in a different circumstance than, you know, we grew up with and where we were. We were able to do a lot of things and, you know, I was able to change, a lot of things that, you know, I was normally used to throughout my life. You know, I was able to change that. And luckily I was able to experience that. You know, that's not something that, you know, before NIL, it's like, man, how are you going to deal with that? I kind of dealt with it.
Scott Fitterer has raved about his maturity and how at times it feels like you're talking to a 40-year-old in all his years scouting. There aren't guys that are that polished. There aren't many guys who are that polished, that refined publicly. That's another thing that feels generational, though. Bryce Young, he was born in July of 2001, right before 9/11. He's part of a generation that grew up their entire lives in front of cameras, on cell phones, taking selfies, you know, making videos, on social media, always thinking about how things look publicly and having that type of self-awareness. So the more we move on in this era, the further we move along in it, the more polished I think you're going to see these draft picks become. The transition from college to the NFL has never been easier. The NFL offenses look a lot like college offenses now. More RPO, like the Panthers are going to run, according to Miles Sanders yesterday. Plus, there are more elite 11 type camps and passing academies out there that are specifically designed to get high school kids prepared for what college and the NFL is going to look like. Now that those two bodies, college and the NFL, run offenses very much alike. But if Bryce Young is a success, he's going to become a trendsetter in a way that Russell Wilson or Drew Brees was not. And it's because he was the number one pick. It's similar to the way Cam Newton was. I'm sure we've seen bigger quarterbacks who were pretty good before Cam Newton arrived. They just weren't taken number one overall. And Cam being a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback and being that number one pick, he became a trendsetter. He broke that prototypical mold that existed as the big quarterback at that time. If Bryce Young is successful as the number one pick, that mold will be broken forever. People talking about how small a prospect is. You can't be that small and be the number one pick in the draft. So yes, part of it is size, and that piece has been talked about probably way too much over the last few months, but it's also generational in the sense of NIL and what kids, what prospects, what today's generation is like and how they're brought up. And by the way, on the size front, given the way we've seen rules change in the NFL to protect quarterbacks more and more and more, and there are rule changes even this offseason with the types of helmets they have, that is only going to continue to protect the quarterbacks, and the enforcement's going to protect the quarterbacks, size is probably less of a concern. It's a lot less of a concern than the way that people are making it out to be. Bryce Young, he represents a new breed of star quarterback. On Twitter at WSJS Radio is where you can chime in on the show, 336-777-1600. Will Dalton is the producer of this show, taking your calls at 777-1600. Rich Eisen going to join the show. 1 week before he's quarterbacking NFL Network's coverage of the draft from Kansas City, we will visit with Rich. You can listen to the Rich Eisen show when we get off the air at 6 o'clock. WD, completely unrelated to what day it is on the calendar, what player are you most high on a week out from the draft?
I'm pretty high on Hendon Hooker.
Oh, I'm high on him too.
I'm high on him. I think you're right. I think he might go in the first round to somebody.
I'm pretty high on Hendon. I'm high on Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who he's flying up draft boards, big on wide receivers. Did you know I'm a Biletnikoff voter?
I've heard the rumors. I'm pretty high on Josh Downs, speaking of the Biletnikoff.
Again, unrelated to what day on the calendar it is.
Yeah.
336-777-1600. What player are you guys most high on a week out before the draft? The Carolina Hurricanes won last night, and they also lost. Yes, they beat the Islanders in overtime to go up 2-0 in the series, but after the game, we learned that Teuvo Teravainen had broken his hand, will have surgery today, and obviously will be out for a while. Rob Brindamore, just in the last hour, said that he's very, very doubtful to return. And as a Canes fan, this is frustrating. It's, frankly, infuriating, because the reason Turbo got hurt last night was because the Islanders knew they were outmatched in this series. Plain and simple, full stop. The Islanders know they can't skate with the Canes. They're like 20 points worse than Carolina was in the regular season. And it started out up-tempo, and guess what happened? Carolina jumped out in front just like they did on Monday night. How did the Islanders respond to that? Trying to drag the game in the sewer. Matt Martin with no intent to play hockey but try to instigate Chatfield, and then a completely dirty cross-check hit on Jordan Staal that nearly knocked him out of the game at the end of the first period. The Isles, they took a page out of the Rick Barnes NCAA tournament playbook of, hey, they can't call everything. Not in the playoffs. They can't call everything. Carolina got 6 power plays last night, but it should have been more than that. On one of the man advantages that Carolina had, it was Teravainen about to rip a shot, and then he got chopped on the hand, which ended up being the play that he broke his hand on, and Rod Brindamore was not happy about that at all afterwards. In fact, to use his words, he was pissed.
425 marker, he broke his hand. With the puck, takes a shot. The guy absolutely, tomahawk chops him. Absolutely. And I know we had all the power plays, so you're not going to make it a 5-on-3. Go take a look at the video. And he's out for the series. So there you go. And they're going to complain about all the power plays, but it's a tomahawk chop. And we just watched it. He has to have surgery tomorrow. There you go. So I'm a little pissed, I'll be honest with you.
The Islanders were not complaining about the differential in power plays or the disparity in power plays, but what they were complaining about was a non-call at the very end in overtime as one of their players got hit with a high stick. Carolina got away with it, and how's that for poetic justice? In a game Carolina lost a player because the Isles were playing cheap, dirty hockey, because they couldn't skate with Carolina, it was the officials missing or choosing not to call what appeared to be a clear high stick in order to get the scoring chance where Jordan Staal fed Jesper Fast to win the game. That is poetic justice in sports. But it is frustrating nonetheless that Tavo is going to be out for a while. Even though he's having a down year for his standards, that is still a big loss considering they've already lost Max Pacioretty and lost Andre Svechnikov as well.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
This is interesting. It's just been announced that Chelsea, the English soccer club, going to be playing at Keenan Stadium in July. They'll have a friendly at Keenan Stadium on North Carolina's campus this summer, which I use as a transition to be joined by the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, who's here. Dot, before we get to grammar school and all that, do you got any inside information for us? Armando Bacot, in the last few hours, fired off an eyeball emojis tweet, and I haven't seen anything surface since then.
Nah, I don't have anything for you, Josh Graham. Sorry. I really don't. I don't know anything going on. I know that Armando likes playing with the fans, though. Like,
Armando.
Sometimes he just tweets stuff just to be tweeting it. He really has no direction, but he could. I mean, you know, I'm not focused on basketball season until October.
Yeah. You should be focused on the NFL draft. In 1 week, your Dallas Cowboys will be picking. And completely unrelated to what day it is on the calendar, I've got to ask you an important question. Which draft prospect are you most high on right now, Dot?
Very well played, Josh Graham. I'm going to be completely honest. I have no clue.
You don't know who you want the Cowboys to take?
Nope. I don't know what position. We have so many voids. Can we draft a GM? Do they have GMs in the draft? Do they have owners in the draft?
I don't think it works that way.
Whoa, you're out on Jerry Jones.
I mean, I would just like him to defer sometimes, man. That's all I want. Like, I'm very envious of the situation that the Commanders are in right now, Josh Graham. Like, they just clean house. They're about to have new energy in there, man. Like, it's going to be a different type of football in Washington. And I just feel like owner JJ has had his hands around the helm of the organization for so long that the last time we were really successful was when he trusted someone to the likes of Jimmy Johnson to lead the boys. And I feel like we should get back to that.
Okay. It's time for the main event. It's time. Hold on a sec. What do you have?
Who are they saying that the Cowboys are even looking at? I hope it's a wide receiver.
Again? I was gonna make the joke like, oh yeah, Cowboys, I'm sure, are going to draft a wide receiver. It's CD Lamb or it's Michael Gallup. Every year.
Or a third running back. Or a third running back to back up Tony Pollard.
Did you know that I'm a Biletnikoff voter?
I did know you were a Biletnikoff voter, Josh Graham. Uh-huh. You've told me every day since the first day I ever met you.
Well, there is a guy who named Zay Flowers who went to, where did he go to school?
Boston College.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that guy who is really good. Probably my favorite receiver in this draft.
Josh Downs.
What
maybe?
About running backs?
Running backs. Well, Bijan Robinson's out there. He's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he sneaks into the top 10. So I don't know if he'll fall to Dallas. But I don't know why you want to take a backup running back in the first round anyway. So I wouldn't say Dallas would do that. Wouldn't surprise me if they take a wide receiver, because again, you are talking about Jerry Jones after all. So there you go. I hope that helped a little bit. Now, yeah. It's time for grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Listen, man, that Josh is going to put one in the air. That should have been a 420 reference, Josh Graham.
420? I don't know what you're talking about.
Stop. It's the date. Today is 420.
Oh.
And like about 40, 50, 60 years ago, it was these kids in California, and they were like, yo, meet me after school at 420. And they kept doing that, and now we celebrate it. But that's not here nor there. Today is the Grammar School 420 edition.
Yes. Educational. That's what it is. And unrelated to today completely, like just random, I have a caucastic question for you, Dot.
Okay.
Tell me literally everything other than the answer he's white about Willie Nelson. Can you describe Willie Nelson in a way that makes sense or name any of his songs?
Willie Nelson is the country music Snoop Dogg.
Can you name, do you know what Willie Nelson looks like? Can you describe him?
Yeah. He wears a bandana and it's usually like the American flag.
Yeah.
And then he's got this long curly hair, right? Mm-hmm. And he's usually sitting in a rocking chair with a guitar, I believe. Does he have a guitar?
He does have a guitar.
I know he has a blunt in his mouth or a J. I know that for sure. For some reason, I can't think of any Willie Nelson songs. However, if one played, I knew I would sing it at the top of my lungs at the baseball game.
Again, unrelated to today completely, he has a song called Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Sounds like a song Willie Nelson would write. Also sounds like a song he would have a remix with Snoop Dogg with a 16.
1 week from Saturday, Willie Nelson will turn 90 years old. 90. And he's still traveling and performing. I'll take that as a passing grade on the Willie Nelson question. So Dot's off to a good start. What do we have in grammar school today, 420 edition?
420 edition, one of the best 420 movies is Friday.
Yeah.
Josh, what does it mean to Debo somebody?
It means, and by the way, we have a free PDQ meal voucher for people that can help me out in grammar school today as a prize.
I really feel like you're going to need some assistance for the song clue today, Joshua.
Okay. Debo means to take something from somebody, to steal something. That's what it means to Debo something. Like you Debo somebody's chain or take somebody's car or whatever.
Yeah, you're doggone right. He's exactly right. Give him a bell on that. Second, Josh Graham, what are Hoochie Daddy shorts?
Hoochie Daddy shorts?
Hoochie Daddy shorts. What are Hoochie Daddy
shorts? Oh, Hoochie Daddy shorts. 336-777-1600.
Whenever Josh throws the phone number out there, it means he needs your assistance.
You like so PDQ? You like PDQ? Yeah. Hey, you want to go grab a free meal of PDQ? Hoochie Daddy shorts. 336-777-1600.
I'm familiar with that place, PDQ, and somebody put me on. Yo, PDQ slaps.
You need to, it does. You need to ban Kyle the Amazon driver from potentially helping, though. Because.
Yeah, no Kyle the Amazon driver.
That's the one guy that always comes in as a great ally to the show.
Gosh.
And specifically to me, getting these questions right. Who do we have?
Did you write that man into your will or something? Like,
Joe and Winston, what do you got?
Okay, Joe, help me out. What are Hoochie Daddy shorts?
They real short shorts for men. They like Daisy Dukes for women.
Oh, so they're like the basketball shorts they used to wear in the 80s? Hoochie Daddy shorts?
I mean, you could call them, but they're any shorts that's just real short that men be wearing.
All right.
They call them dad shorts, too.
Well, enjoy PDQ if you're right. Dot, is that correct?
Any shorts above the knees are Hoochie Daddy shorts. Bless that man with PDQ. Doggone right.
You wanna know what Hoochie Daddy shorts look like, YouTube audience?
Hey, you wanna know what Hoochie Daddy shorts look like?
Yeah. Check it out. Look at these. They're above the knee. That's what we got.
Yeah, they're above the knee.
YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. That's right.
Yeah, I just showed mine too. We got on the same shorts.
I see that. Look at us. Hoochie Daddy shorts. These are like Tar Heel blue. All right. So I got a passing grade already, but this is the part that terrifies me the most because I've had the yips when it comes to some of these songs, and you're saying I'm going to need a lot of help here. Okay, what do we got?
These two rappers were not only known for being huge potheads, but they also made a movie about it. What song do they say, "Look up in the sky"? It's a bird. It's a plane. It's the funk Dr. Spock smoking law on the train. How high? So high that I can kiss the sky. up to the sky.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. This is
you're toast.
Can we turn down the music and I'll say it again. Say it again. Again, these are your clues. These two hip hop artists were known to be potheads.
Yeah.
They even made a movie about it.
Uh-huh.
But they have a song, same title, that says, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's the funk Dr. Spock smoking La on the train. How high? So high that I could kiss the sky. Up, up to the sky.
I think the movie's probably How High. When I think of pot smoking movies, I think of Half Baked. I'm gonna guess am I guessing the song or am I guessing the artist?
You're guessing the song or you can guess the artist.
Okay. I'm gonna guess just a shot in the wind. The song's called How High and Afro Man is involved in the proceedings.
Play the song, please.
Up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
Oh.
How high?
So high that I can kiss the sky. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane.
Recognize Johnny Blaze, ain't a damn thing changed.
How high?
So high that I can kiss the sky.
All righty. Now, Josh Graham, I'm going to give you that point because the name of that song is How High.
That is the song, yeah.
The song is How High, so I will give you that point, but it is not Afro Man. It is Method Man and Red Man.
I mean, it's one of the most, that's the thing I struggle with when you just hear lyrics and not the song. Like, Method Man, one of the most recognizable voices there is. It's what makes it really, really hard when it comes to just hearing song lyrics. So that is a passing grade, but it's not 100. It's good to see you, brother.
My friend.
Next week, we got to get you in here and do a serial draft.
I was about to say, yeah, I need to do one of these drafts, man.
Serial draft. You and I, we're going to make it happen, and Will be involved in this as well. We got to get you involved in one of our drafts on draft week next week.
Say less. I'm with it.
All right. There he goes. Love you, bro.
Love you back.
Places, everyone.
Come on, places, please.
We're ready.
Get your morning off to a great start with Jeffrey Griffin on Triad Today. Weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Totally unrelated to what day it is and what time it'll be in about 3 minutes, but since we're a week out from the draft, which prospect are you most high on? 336-777-1600 on Twitter at WSJS Radio. Mark in Greensboro writes in, Gibby edge rusher Yaya Diaby. Hashtag go ACC. He's a Louisville Cardinal, I believe. Emmanuel Forbes, maybe get him as a corner. He's an SEC guy, Mississippi State. Jay Bear writes it. Josh Downs. Give me Josh Downs for the Carolina Panthers. I think a lot of Panther fans would sign up for that. The best 420 story I've got, WD, is that my dad, for the last 15, 20 years of him being a law enforcement officer, was the DARE police officer. You know what DARE stands for? Do you have to have the DARE courses when you were a kid?
No. Drugs Awareness Program or something?
Drug Awareness are the first two letters of DARE.
I don't know the others.
Resistance Education.
Ah.
That's what DARE is. My dad was the DARE officer. So anytime I tried to get invited to the cool kid parties in high school, people would be like, your dad's the DARE officer.
Nope.
Yeah, you're a narc. You look like a narc. Your dad is literally a narc. But what was most funny is, about a decade ago, I remember calling my dad joking, saying, this is a big day for you. Happy 420. And he had no idea what I was talking about. I'm like, Dad.
What?
How do you, of all people, not know what 420 is. I had to explain to a DARE police officer, and this is not in a small county. Like, he's teaching other DARE officers how to do it. He was the DARE officer for Wake County in Raleigh. Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, DARE officer, let me educate you a little bit about what this, air quote, holiday is about. Getting to an unrelated, completely unrelated to what day it is, we will have the candy draft that we do. Because candy and snacks and such, something that is noteworthy and popular on days like today, I'd imagine. And specifically what time it is right now. Dealer's choice. You want to talk pucks or do you want to talk basketball?
I want to talk basketball.
Mm-hmm. This is a love letter to the Western Conference of the NBA. Thank you. The East, we've got Sixers, Nets, pass. Yeah. Hawks, Celtics, nah. Bucks, Heat, meh. We don't have great series out East, other than maybe the Nets and the Cavaliers. Out West, all these series, short of Denver and Minnesota, it seems like. Seemed like awesome series. Without Ja Morant, the Grizzlies beat the Lakers. They needed to win that game. I didn't think they'd be able to win without Ja, but they did. And we got the inevitable spicy moment between Dylan Brooks and LeBron James. WD was offended on LeBron's behalf about what Dylan Brooks had to say after the game. Here he was.
I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. He should have been saying that earlier on. But, you know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. I pride myself on, you know, what I do is defense and taking on any challenge that's on the board.
Don't forget, WD. Dylan Brooks, same guy at Oregon 5-6 years ago. Remember, he took a late three when the game was already decided between Oregon and Duke. They knocked Duke out of the NCAA tournament. And in the handshake line, Coach K let Dylan Brooks know he was not a big fan of that. Not a big fan of that. Essentially saying that he shouldn't have taken that shot. You're better than that. Something of that sort. And Coach K denied, even though there was video of it and he was asked about it after the game, he denied that he said anything to Dylan Brooks, but then you could hear him on the video saying that, hey, I'm not a big fan of that. So it shouldn't really surprise anybody that that guy became the guy who's calling LeBron James old. I don't care. He's old after the game. Kings Warriors, looking at another Western Conference series. Tonight, we've got Game 3 in San Francisco. No Draymond Green, who's suspended. That could be the best first-round series we've seen in recent memory. World-class games. Golden State needs to win tonight. It's the first time of the Steve Kerr era that Golden State's been down 2-0 in a series. And we'll see. I already see Warriors fans making jokes. We won an NBA championship, essentially, without Draymond Green last year. We could do that again. We could take care of business on our home floor. We're talking about the Kings, after all, right? The Clippers and Suns. That appears to be an all-out drag-out, but I'll be honest. Learning that Kawhi Leonard's not going to play tonight in the last half hour put a damper on this. I get it's in LA, but no Kawhi, no Paul George. Just seems like that the Suns should win tonight and go up 2-1 in the series. So that's what we've got out West. Anything specific you wanted to hit on, WD?
Calling it right now. 40-point triple-double on Dylan Brooks' head by LeBron. He's poking the bear. Don't do that.
Yeah. LeBron, I don't know if you could bet on this. I guess you could bet on pretty much anything nowadays. I don't want to bet on points for LeBron, but I would like to bet on attempts.
Oh, yeah.
How many shots are going up by LeBron? LeBron, I don't know if he'll get the 40, but he's going to take enough shots where he could.
Well, and people talk about this all the time. He's always not a natural scorer. But when he wants to, a.k.a.
you know, when he was going for the scoring champion or title that day. Like, he can put up the points.
WD, so offended on LeBron's behalf.
I'm upset.
By Dylan Brooks last night. So offended. I was offended when Teuvo Teravainen went down last night. Without him, I don't want to overemphasize this because Teuvo has not had the greatest of seasons, at least for his standards, but this is bad news for Carolina. Not having him for this series with the broken hand and next series and maybe beyond that. The Canes, they're in trouble. He's the third forward. The third forward that has gotten hurt over the last couple of months for Carolina. You had Andrei Svechnikov, Max Pacioretty, and now Turbo getting hurt and a broken hand. It takes 4 to 6 weeks for that to heal. So he's going to be out this series. We know that. Rob Brindamore saying today he's very, very doubtful to return at all. Next series for sure, if Carolina gets that far. And the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd say, are very, very doubtful. You'd probably have to get to the Stanley Cup in order for it to be realistic that you get Teuvo in the lineup. And this further exposes a mistake Carolina made at the deadline. Carolina tried to galaxy brain it. Oh, we don't need to add any extra players. We're good. Everybody's saying we need to add. No, we're smarter than that. Meanwhile, everybody else in the East is adding guys. New York's adding Patrick Kane and, you know, Bertuzzi, who scored last night for Boston. He's added at the deadline. Everybody's adding. Carolina pretty much stayed pat. And the reasoning was, well, we needed a center, and the market wasn't really there for great centers, and the market was out of control because there weren't a lot of those guys. And if we've learned anything about the Canes under Tom Dundon's ownership, they are not going to overpay. They refused to overpay when it was Dougie Hamilton. They refused to overpay when it was Elias Lindholm. They don't do that. And they were right in those instances. But since they weren't willing to overpay for a center in the draft process or in the deadline evaluation, now with a few injuries and attrition, which seems to be inevitable this time of year, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough for Carolina. We wish they would have added another score of some type. And I wondered if it affects the way that Carolina plays now. They're already a team that relies on the blue line and the way that they play defensively. And why wouldn't you when you have Jacob Slavin and Brady Shea and Brett Pesce and Brent Burns, as Mike Maniscalco said a couple days ago, that guy's going to be a Hall of Famer one day, right? You already lean on your defense. That's okay. But Teuvo Teravainen was a valuable player in your penalty kill. He's been a guy who's logged a lot of minutes in the playoffs offensively, and he's not there anymore, which is going to add extra pressure on the goaltending to be strong. I don't know if Carolina is a team that can give up 3 goals in a playoff game and consistently win like they did last night in overtime. I don't know if that's going to be something that holds up moving forward. And there's going to be added emphasis on the blue line to be more involved offensively and to be better on the kill while Carolina is thinner up the middle. Does that mean that they're in trouble in their series against the Islanders? I don't know. They're up 2-0. A series hasn't started until a team wins on the road. What's crazy is there are 8 first-round series in the NHL. 7 of the 8 already has a road team that has won. So I guess all those series have started. The only series that has not started in the NHL is the Carolina Hurricane series.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. It's really dumb. They're up 2-0 against the Islanders. They should be fine. They should be good enough to get past that. But if you draw the Rangers in round 2 and the Rangers don't have a long series and they're in action in their game 2 later on tonight, I don't think Carolina should be favored. I wouldn't favor Carolina even if they had home ice. And they will have home ice against whoever they play in round 2. But I wouldn't favor Carolina against the Rangers. Against the Devils, probably. So if you're a Canes fan, you should be rooting for the Devils, you know, a great deal tonight. Try to make that a long series. You don't want to lose both your home games if you're the Devils. And that is a better matchup for Carolina. I don't want to overemphasize it. It's not like it's a death nail for Carolina that they don't have Teuvo Teravainen, but it further exposes a mistake Carolina made, a miscalculation Carolina made at the deadline, now that Turbo's out, Svech is out, and Max Pacioretty only played 5 games for the Canes this year. Last week was our video game draft. This week, we set our sights on the candy. And we'll be on the clock for the first and probably last candy draft. Next on The Drive.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
It was controversial a week ago. It was the video game draft that we did. And now that we're a week out from the NFL draft in Kansas City with the Panthers having the number one pick, we decided now, completely unrelated to what day on the calendar it is, to do a candy draft. Talking snacks here. Candy draft. We get 4 picks apiece. And since I had the first pick a week ago, WD will have the first pick here. I've got my big board ready to go. I'm feeling really confident about the draft I'm going to put together here, this candy draft. Are you ready?
I was born for this.
You're on the clock. Is the pick in?
I had to cue in my music, and yes, the pick is in. I'm going with the Reese's Big Cup, but specifically white chocolate.
A white chocolate Reese's Big Cup?
Absolutely.
How big is a big cup?
Haven't you seen the king size Reese's?
Yeah, the one that's like, it's almost like the size of an Easter bunny.
Oh, it's bigger than that. It's like that big. King cup.
Wow.
Reese's.
I think that's a bust. I think it's a bust with the first overall pick that you just made. And I'm going to capitalize on your mistake. When your opponent makes a mistake, thank them. Don't stop them. Don't get in their way. Take the OG chocolate candy on the board with the second pick of the candy draft. I'm going with M&M's.
Basic.
The original M&M's. Out of all the candies out there, this is the Forrest Gump. This is the Shawshank of candies. High batting average. You could have them out of the bag. You could have them out like in the middle of a lobby area in a bowl that you could just eat out of. Who dislikes M&M's? You're probably a communist if you dislike M&M's. High batting average. It was number one on my big board by a mile. We went through the process and somebody separated, and it was M&M's that separated for me as the clear number one prospect on my big board. I'm glad they were available. WD, time for your second choice.
Warheads.
Whoa!
See, I'm a big sour guy.
Love sour. I like sour more than chocolate, which is why I went chocolate first, just because I feel like I have a lot more value. It's a lot more depth on my big board when it came to candies that were sweet and sour that I'd be happy with. So that's why I had to secure my chocolate pick. But you went Warheads. Why?
See, I like sour stuff. But see, Warheads take it up several notches. I mean, they are so sour that it almost hurts how sour they are. But it's in a good way if you like sour stuff. Love it.
Love sour.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal pick I'm about to make. You know where I'm headed. This is my favorite candy going right now. The top candy in the game. We're going big chewy nerds.
Oh my.
It's not like the nerd small little candies that get all over the place. No, they're like clumped like balls, like these nerd balls that are great to eat. And they're fantastic. Like they're the OG. And you know, I'm going to go sour big nerds chewies. Sour big chewy nerds. That is my pick. It's my favorite candy. I knew you probably weren't going to take it very early on. So just because it's my draft I'm doing here, I've got to secure a personal choice. And Big Chewy Nerds fits right in as a good compliment to the M&Ms, to the chocolate that I've already secured. We're halfway home. Your third pick.
Twix.
Oh!
I love Twix.
Gotta scratch Twix.
Yeah.
Off my list here.
See, the thing I like about Twix is, yeah, it's chocolate. Yeah, it has caramel. But I don't know what the crunchy... I don't know what the crunchy part is. I don't know.
It's like a wafer.
It's like a wafer of some kind. I love that. I love the texture of it. I love the flavor of it. And I love that you get two of them.
Yeah, Twix and Three Musketeers were pretty high up on the list. WD, I'm going to capitalize on a mistake you made yet again. Actually, no, I'm going to wait to
milk it.
Completely dunk on you. Pick is in. We're going back to the sweets. We're going Lemonheads and Friends.
Oh, my.
Lemonheads and Friends.
Wow.
So you get the regular Lemonheads that are in the box, but there are also cherry heads in there, grape, apple. It's my go-to, I'm going to the movies and want to sneak something in candy. Where I can fit it in my back pocket or fit it in my... And they think it's your phone. It's perfect size. It's my go-to sneak some candy into the movie theater candy. Lemonheads and Friends. The Friends part is key. That makes it the draft pick for me. So I got a couple sweet slash sour choices that are really tying up my draft together well, I think. WD, you have one more pick to round out your candy draft.
I have chocolates. I have sour. Give me Lifesaver mints.
Whoa!
How about that?
Whoa!
That's a plethora. There.
I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going Lifesavers?
Lifesaver mints.
Lifesaver mints?
The mints.
Whoa! This is like when the Raiders pick in the first round. Who?
If the toothpaste...
Alex Leatherhead?
If the toothpaste flavor was a candy...
Damon Arnett?
Give me Lifesaver Mints.
Lifesaver Mints?
Yep.
Whew.
Mm-hmm.
They were not anywhere close to my big board. WD?
Yes.
This is the part where I embarrass you.
Ah.
Last pick of the draft. What was your first pick?
The big king-size Reese cup, white chocolate.
Mystery relevant in this draft.
Oh, boy.
Is Reese's Pieces.
Whoa. That is Mr. Irrelevant.
Here's why Reese's Pieces is the right choice. Easier to bring around with you. You get the big bag that lasts longer than your big Reese's cup does or even the four-pack. Reese's cup, like, if you're talking about, I just have something to eat really quickly and scarf down for 30 seconds, top Halloween candy, the Reese's cup, does the trick. But you have the taste of that with the Reese's Pieces, and it's a lot easier to travel, and it lasts a lot longer. Reese's Pieces is the way to go if you're going to go Reese's in the draft.
I've got an unsigned free agent for you.
What?
The orange Tic Tac.
Get out of here.
Shout out to Gray, one of our salespeople.
Okay, so that's been our candy draft. WD, share with the people your four choices real quickly.
We've got the king-size white chocolate Reese cup, Warheads, Twix, and the mint Lifesavers.
Was that the top four on your big board? Did I take anything off of your big board?
You did not.
See, the only one you took, I had fourth on my big board, Twix. Had that down.
Mm-hmm.
So you did take one. Bunch of crunches still left on the board. Sour Skittles, Starburst, Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Skittles are good.
Yeah. So, but I got 1, 2, and 3 M&M's, Big Chewy Nerds, and Reese's Pieces, which I'm really happy about. And to round it out, I have the Lemonheads and Friends. Who had the better draft? We're going to put it on social media. So you can chime in. In the meantime, on Twitter in the last hour or so, Armando Bacot.
Armando.
Posted on Twitter just the eyeball emoji.
Yeah, what was that? I saw that.
Don't know.
Something's cooking there.
Something is. We'll keep you posted on that in that regard. But tell us who had the better draft on Twitter at WSJS Radio.